thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're in the studio today with our special guests, Maris and Janelle, Miss Tara. And Nick's in here today. He doesn't want to talk, but he's here.
Nick's our producer.
Our producer, yeah. And Sandy. We are in Mark 10, 35 through 45, and it's been a great discussion. I love the one on the baptism that you don't even think about. So go back on the blog and listen to it if you haven't listened to it. And today we're going to compare the Gentile rulers with Jesus' rulers.
Okay, so as I was studying this passage, I started asking the question all week long, what is a servant? What is a slave? And what does it mean to be a servant? And what does it mean to be a slave? And the reason why I'm asked that is because this is what Jesus says that they need to be. And so we'll just do the last portion of today's Bible story. It's all about Jesus being asked by James and John if they can sit at the right hand or the left. And he asks them back, you know, can you really partake in my cup, my baptism? And they say yes. And then he goes into this long teaching time with the disciples. He says to all of them, he says, you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles, they dominate them and they have their high positions and they exercise their power. But that's not how it's supposed to be among you. Whoever wants to be among us must be a servant. And whoever wants to be a first must be a slave. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. May God honor the telling of his word. And that's where we're going to focus. All right, what is the difference between a Gentile ruler and Jesus's followers? What's the difference? So just from what we just went through, you just tell me, describe how the Gentile rulers are described. What are they like?
Dominating, selfish, powerful.
Mm-hmm. Good words.
Arrogant.
Yeah. Okay. What else?
Prideful.
Okay.
Power-driven.
Power, yeah. Mm. It's crazy. I wrote down, they lord over, they oppress, they exercise authority, they exploit. And I also did the word dominate. It's just, it's all about them and their position. It's all about them and their authority. It's all about them being honored. It's all about a self-driven, self-motivated, self-prestige. And as I was preparing this lesson, I thought, God, really, that's almost like the biggest sin I think we've got in
selfishness.
America.
Pride with a capital I.
yeah. You know, we say it's okay to have self-esteem.
Yeah.
But nowhere in Scripture is that phrase used. Mm-hmm. Nowhere are we told to have self-esteem. In fact, we're told when self is discussed, it's deny yourself, die to yourself. And so it's almost like a, was that an oxymoron? Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how it's just the opposite of what our world tells us. You know, Nike says just do it or you be it or be all McDonald's, be all you can be.
You're
We're constantly being fed a lie of what our society tells us when Jesus tells us that you need to
humble yourself and serve.
Huge. So let's describe Jesus' servants. What does his followers look like?
Humble,
yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
What
Selfless.
Else? Selfless.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
They're ordinary men.
Yeah.
You know, that become extraordinary.
Right, because he's at work in
right.
them. This is good. What else?
They lead by example.
Okay, good.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Committed.
Committed, yeah.
They definitely do not waver.
Right.
Exactly.
And they obey. He always says, come, follow me.
Boom.
They do it immediately.
And there it was.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's so awesome. I love that.
I do too.
I was asking a friend this week. I said, I'm like, what is it? So I've asked this question. Let me just rephrase this. I started off all week, every person I met with and I talked to, it's like, okay, so what does it mean to be a servant? Seriously, what does it mean to be a servant? And the responses I've gotten have been just absolutely huge. And one young friend, she just looked at me and she goes, I guess it means to be wholehearted.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, what do you mean wholehearted? I mean, let's talk about that. And she's like, well, I guess it would just be to have passion. And I love the younger generation because they are so passionate. And I asked her, I said, do you know what the definition of passion is? And she's like, well, I know what I would define it as. And I can't even remember what she defined it, but it was a really good definition. And I said, that's good. But it means to suffer.
Mm. Wow.
Yeah.
Suffer with his compassion.
Yeah. To be willing to suffer for something. And so the word here that he uses, there's two key words that we're going to use, and I'm actually going to give us the Greek words because they're so profound. I'm like, why would you call me, Jesus, a servant? Why would you call me a slave? Why? Why are you telling me that's what I need to be? Because neither of those bring up images that are positive to me. I mean, a servant is somebody who is constantly setting somebody's table, washing somebody's feet, making somebody's bed, you know, doing something for other people. A slave isn't just doing it for somebody. They're owned by somebody, literally, mm-hmm. and they have no say in the matter. Mm-hmm. And so asking, why would you say to the disciples, and why would you tell me as a follower of Christ that I'm going to be a servant and I'm to be a slave? And the word servant, it comes from diakonos. And it means to be voluntary.
Mm. Mm. Yeah.
And guess what? It is somebody who waits on tables.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, literally. It is a person that is willing to bow down. And that's the reason why Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. And then the word for slave is doulos, which means that you forfeit your own rights. Mm. Mm-hmm. That it is literally a sacrificial. So Jesus is telling them that they need to give a voluntary sacrifice. They have to willingly sacrifice themselves for someone else.
I think that's a difference, too, between the way we see slaves, because it's not their choice. They're, right. they're born into that, or they're sold into that, and it's not a choice. But, I mean, we learned about this when we study leadership things at Grace. It's like, the best form of leadership is when you have the authority and the responsibility and you use that not to glorify yourself, but to serve others, to empower mm-hmm. others to be better and to bring them to a better place. So it's giving up your mm-hmm. your power and authority or investing it in others.
And also voluntary, you know, you're thinking about the people you are serving or helping. You're serving mm-hmm. somebody that can't repay you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's the sacrifice, the voluntary sacrifice is... You're searching for somebody to help that needs your help.
You remove yourself from the picture.
Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
Okay. Both of those are powerful. They're huge and rich. But I can tell you, my struggle is that sometimes when I am in the process of serving, I forget that I have to back off. Mm-hmm. That in my excitement of knowing something, I can move forward, and then I end up robbing.
Yeah.
And so Jesus is wanting us to be mindful at all times. And the example I can give you for him is, remember how when we talked about the transfiguration and how when he was praying, he glowed, mm-hmm. his face shined and his clothes were like lightning. And the commentator had said that the miracle wasn't that his glory was revealed. The miracle was is that his glory was contained the rest of the time. And it's funny because when I was doing my research on this, I found another commentator said, that is huge because Jesus's model for us is that he veiled his glory mm-hmm. so that he could walk on this earth. And so here was another example of a commentator emphasizing the fact that he kept his glory hidden was huge. Mm-hmm. I just can't even imagine. And he did that willingly and he did it voluntarily.
And intentionally, like you always say, the intentionality of everything.
And sacrificially. Mm-hmm. How cool is that? Mm-hmm. The other thing is that he came to serve. Mm-hmm. That's a model that he gave us. So he was willing to veil his glory, his power, his authority, and all that. He came as a servant. And then he was willing to empty himself, literally mm-hmm. like put himself where it was, it's not him, but it's emptying, a pouring out. And so... the crowds were constantly pressing in, and even though he was off to a solitary place, he'd stop and take care of people. He assumed the form of a slave. And this was the sacrificial. This is the sacrifice of what he did on the cross. Laying down on the cross in our behalf is that he assumed that.
And that reminds me of John 12:24. Like the whole time, it just keeps coming up in my head. John 12:24 says, "Truly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit."
Amen. Mm-hmm. It's so good. It's so good. And that's what he's asking of us. He took on our likeness, even though, you know, he left the throne of heaven and we're created in his image, but he came down to be in our image so that we could relate. And then the humbling that we talked about and the obedience. And so I wrote out some words that I wanted us to use as a description. So going, I was trying all week coming up with what is a servant? What does the servant slave look like? And it's a voluntary, sacrificial, vicarious, obedient, humble heart. It's a voluntary, sacrificial, vicarious, obedient, humble heart. And it's the gift that is given when we're willing to do that for another and allowing somebody else to be the one that's taken care of, lifted up front. Makes me think of Lecrae's song, "I Can Be the Background." I'm constantly having to sing that song to remind myself, you know, if the pride swells up. And so really taking the time to ask ourselves and to be praying for it. Because if I'm not praying that I become these qualities, I will be like a Gentile ruler. I will lord over, I will dominate, I will oppress, I will exercise the authority, I will exploit it, I will use my power to injure, to harm, or to bring glory to myself, and my selfishness will be evident. And so having that contrast, and that's what he's given them. Okay, this is what my expectation of you is, and what it will be, and how you'll walk in that walk. So when you hear those, what does that make you think about in your walk? How does it make you struggle?
You do struggle, because when you're saying that, I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I'm doing that other thing. So I'm, you know, the arrogant, the...
Yeah.
You know that song, when you were talking about a song, "Let them see you and me, let them hear you when I speak." I say that a lot, because... you just want them not to see you.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a much older song that I'm reminded of, too. It's called "Empty Me of Me, That I Can Be Filled with You."
That's a good one, too.
It's so hard because, I mean, even in our conversations with people, we draw attention to ourselves. If it's like the point of my conversation is to be like, how can I make this person think I'm more spiritual or a better person or funny? Or, you know, you just want people to think better of you. And that's the motivation behind what you speak. What if we shifted our perspective so that with every word we say, the motivation is, how can I bring this person to a better understanding of God? Or how can I build into their life and encourage them? How can I make them a better person? It's a completely different perspective.
It changes the way we speak. It changes the way we think. It changes everything.
Yeah. And we have to say that to ourselves. Oh, myself, I should just talk about me all the time.
Sure.
I have to remind.
Daily, moment by moment.
Yeah.
And I want to bring some encouragement. I don't want this to be a condemnation, because what can happen in the body of Christ is that we can beat ourselves up. And that's not the case. With every form of encouragement, there is a condemnation. You cannot have an encouragement without a condemnation. Because if, for example, somebody says, you need to read your Bible more, you can be encouraged to do that. But if you're not, you can be condemned because you haven't, right? Mm-hmm. And so for every encouragement, there is a condemnation. This is an encouragement for us to voluntarily, sacrificially, vicariously, that means to be to substitute, obediently humble hearts. That it's an encouragement, that, but it's not meant to say, you guys haven't done it.
Right.
That's not what Jesus is doing. Right. This is what we want to be moving towards. So when you recognize in your heart that you are lording over and dominating and power hungry and authority driven and oppressing and exploiting, that you deal with it. You bring it before the Lord. You confess it. Allow him to clean it up and then move on in what you know you're supposed to do. I think what can happen is that we will beat ourselves up and we'll focus in on, I did this 3 times today, and not necessarily focus in on all the other moments that may have been where we walked right. And that's never what Jesus does.
Yeah. Right.
you know.
He's always there ready to forgive us.
He has already forgiven us.
But I mean, every time we
need
repent,
to receive it. Yeah. We need to receive it. Yep. We need to own what has already been done.
Yes.
You are forgiven.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, this is good. So as he spoke this to the disciples that day, what do you think may have been going through their minds? Mm-hmm. How would they have responded? It doesn't tell us in this scripture.
I mean, there's a lot of things that Jesus said that the disciples probably didn't quite process right away.
Like us, yeah.
I know.
I love it, you know, they talk about the 10 heard it, and they were displeased, you know, with James and John, kind of like we were, mm-hmm. or I was, I should say. And then Jesus called them to himself. You know, he gathers mm-hmm. them up, you know, and says, this is... Let's
all right, guys.
This.
Yeah. Well,
oh my
you
gosh,
know,
there's tension.
This
Let
is
me
not
fix it.
addressed to James and John.
No.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who is it addressed to?
Rather, disciples.
Them. So, what does that tell you about what the thought process was?
Well, he knew what they were thinking.
Were the apostles others. Also thinking the same thing?
Mm. Probably, I would guess. Yes. Yeah. They all want to be at his right
yeah,
side. Yes.
Right. And so, ultimately, they all
they
needed
just spoke
this
it
lesson.
Sooner than the others.
They're the ones that were willing to speak it out loud.
Right, yes.
You know, somebody in that group was thinking, that idiot, they shouldn't have done that, but that's exactly
Peter.
What I was thinking. You know, getting their thoughts in the process. It's such a mess. It's crazy. As I'm looking at this, how can we make this relevant as we're walking our walk, as we're moving through things?
If we can focus on serving people as just a daily lifestyle again, and how we interact with them, and also like how we spend our time, that's huge, because we often focus all of our time on making ourselves better or on doing something that we feel like we need, but prioritizing other people above ourselves.
I also have to go to a heart motive. What's my heart motive? You know,
yeah.
Am I doing it for them?
Mm-hmm.
You know. Or am I doing it for me?
That's good.
Well, something you said earlier was with the brothers, they had to identify who God is so they can believe in themselves, because God has spoken truth in who they are and their identity. Mm. So I think that the first place is to start within myself and knowing, okay, who is God, and who is God in me, and who has he created me to be? Tying back to everything that you had said. And then that, I will be able to serve without dominating. I will have the heart of God.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Because knowing
you have to
who
know your
he
identity.
Is.
That's
mm-hmm.
so good. I'm wondering who out there is being challenged in this today, and we just want to encourage you. Jesus didn't speak to James and John in condemnation. He, in fact, acknowledged their request and gave them a simple answer and then encouraged them in the ways that they could grow. And so I pray that as you are listening to this, that you will seek out how you can grow from it. God bless.